everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the uppercase triangle head.
Can shapes be
uppercase?
Whatever. Two Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, design, and writing and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobbies, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes.
Because I thought there was the big delta and the little. Isn't there a little delta and a big delta?
I guess, but like, if you call it a delta, then yes.
Right,
but a triangle, like you can't have an uppercase rectangle.
Yeah, you can. It's bigger than a smaller.
Sure.
Anyways, doing a joke. It's delta change. The symbol for change, delta, which is a triangle or whatever.
If y'all remember from a couple episodes ago, it's because we're back again with another designing with 2HGM thing, where this episode we're going to be talking again about the game design for our Afterlife project.
Yes. Little bit of recap. We released Afterlife, a post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing RPG. Two T's. Yeah, we released that about what? Was that 2023, right? 2024? Whatever. Definitely.
Really only like 2 years?
I think it was only. Anyways, we released it a couple of years ago.
Feels it's like been it was 100 years ago.
Well, we started it 100 years ago for sure.
Yeah. So we talked about this a lot last time. Mm-hmm. Is that it's like it is a setting. You know, an exciting post-apocalyptic, like, science fantasy adventure world that we really like, because we've worked on it together for a long time, but that the game itself was not all it could be. One, because initially we started out not really knowing how a lot of other games worked, right. And then learn how some other games worked, we took the wrong lessons from other games.
Maybe not took the wrong lessons, but built on what was before, and, like, you know,
we did not build the best game it could be. So what we want to do, and what we are currently like in the progress of working on and are making some episodes about, and we're doing it live a little bit, is the, we're designing
we want to update some rules, change some rules. Is it going to be version 2? Is it going to be Afterlife 2? Is it going to be
we're looking at the things, the parts of the game as it exists right now, the parts that we don't like, the parts that we don't enjoy running or playing or don't work very well. Or, and we're thinking about this a lot too, is like, you know, is it does it make sense to anyone but us?
Mm-hmm.
But also trying not to let that hold us back too much,
right? Because we're probably, if this new version is anything like the old version, we gonna be the only ones.
We'll sell it to 8 or 9 people, and they're the same people who come to the house every weekend.
Yeah. So, last week we talked about, or not last week, last designing episode, we talked about the attributes and our thoughts for those, and where we kind of ended up.
We went from like new attributes in the role system, which I think we should recap, and then we talked
Where we landed. So we wanted to change how the attributes were, and we were thinking where we ended the episode, or where we ended the conversation last episode, was 12, I believe. 4 physical.
Yep.
Combat. 2 physical, 2 mental, that makes 8.
Yep.
2 personal, and then 10. We discussed like the health mechanic being like endurance and toughness,
and also speed, and we got to figure out comes
speed's
from.
So a weird one.
We have toughness and speed, which are not attributes, but they are stats. And they're going to need to come from somewhere.
Right, and in addition to changing, right, those are new attributes. Those are not in the original Afterlife. So making those attributes and then it being a rollover system. So every time you do an action, it's directly falls into an attribute category, right? So like if you're attacking, mm-hmm. are you attacking with a ranged weapon or a melee weapon?
Yeah.
Right? Means it's either going to be shoot or hit, and then you roll trying to get above your attribute in whatever, you know, form of combat you are taking, right? So if you have a gun, I shoot a guy. All right, well, roll. Is it over your shoot attribute? Then it's a success.
Yeah.
So a little counterintuitive, right?
I think,
usually you're,
yeah.
you know, adding, you know, your attribute bonus or whatever, you know, a roll plus system.
It's like, here's what I like kind of called it to myself a couple of times. It's an inverted roll under system.
Yeah.
And that sounds like, well, isn't that just like D&D? Well, no, it's different because, like, it's mathematically the same as a roll under system. We just change it. So instead of, you do the subtraction in the beginning.
Character creation.
In the very beginning during character creation so that later on you're not doing any subtracting and you still want to roll high on your D20.
Yeah.
Because that's the way our fucking brains work. And
higher roll is better.
How you get excited for a one, for a natural one. That's right. Stupid. I mean, it might not be.
No, it's stupid. Put it on the board.
I think it's dumb. Put it on the board.
Natural ones are stupid.
Yeah. Don't like it. I think with a D100, maybe fine. I don't know. You, like, 100 is bad. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like 100 versus 1. A roll under D100 system makes sense to me.
Right.
But a roll under system with D20? The D20, I want my D20 to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Need that 20.
That's the deal.
Want that 20. So that's where we were.
Essentially, yeah, that's where we were. And then we talked about some stuff about weapon damage and the injury table, the combat effects table.
Right. Because what we were thinking for endurance and toughness, right? These two kind of weird
things that are
attributes.
Like inversions of each other, right. Basically.
With a rollover system, right, how can we get these, like, health points? Because, like, our whole damage table in Afterlife that we really liked and didn't want to change very much deals with, like, health, right? So then we decided, or we spitballed, not decided, it's not set in stone, but the idea we landed on was endurance is a stat or an attribute just like any other thing. The lower the stat, the more likely or the greater the chance you're going to succeed in an endurance roll whenever those come up, which is rare.
Yeah.
But that's however many points you put into endurance, which makes that number lower, is your health or toughness.
Yeah. So you take the inversion. So say you put 17 points into endurance. That'd be a lot.
That's
right?
A lot.
That means, though, that
very,
like,
high endurance.
You'd be like a ghoul in Fallout who can eat anything in the wasteland and not, you know, suffer
get
poison or radiation. Yeah. You can't get tummy ache. That would also mean that you put those 17 points into endurance, dropped your endurance target difficulty to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or
3.
Yeah, 3. That would mean that your toughness is also 17.
Right, so you have 17 hit points.
And with toughness, it's good because the way toughness interacts with the
damage
value, you subtract toughness from the damage. So say, you know, you have 17 toughness and you're taking 20 damage incoming. Someone succeeds at shooting you with a 20 damage gun. You've reduced that to 3, so now you're rolling a d10 on the 3 lethality tier.
Right.
Which is not as bad as
on the 20
all the way down
lethality.
At the 20, where the, you know, possibility of being dead is very high.
Yeah, so we like that because it allows us to keep our damage table pretty much intact, right?
We'll just need to tweak weapon damage, essentially. Mm-hmm. We'll need to tweak toughness value and weapon damage to figure out where it lands, but really we can keep the table almost intact.
Right. Which is one of the most exciting things we think about Afterlife is this damage table. Mm-hmm. It's
I think
what
it,
do they
like,
call those?
It's not the most innovative feature of the original game. I think the most innovative thing we did was the, like, build your own spell thing, but nobody really engaged with that. The damage table is the most innovative thing that actually, like,
is understandable.
Functioned well. That we like successfully implemented a death piece spiral. Of innovation.
That's what they call them.
It is it is a death spiral mechanic instead of damage dice and hit points. Mm-hmm. Bad things happen to you as you take,
and the more damage you take, the more likely a bad thing is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Right, a wound, we call them.
Yeah,
right. So we like that, but I mean, do you want to explain the mental side of things?
Okay, so what this kind of came from, one, I liked the idea that toughness came from an inversion of your endurance stat. I also like that we added a third stat to physical. I like that there's going to be now 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, 9, 10, 11, 12 if we do this. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, a big number, because that covers a lot of things that could happen. It also makes it harder for a
min-maxer,
for a chud player to make a character who always succeeds at the only things that they do, right?
And
never does the other things because they never put any points into it.
Another good move in the right direction is in Afterlife, you have 7 attributes and then, like, skills and then, like... I think it's still innovative where, like, you don't chain skills to an attribute.
Yeah.
So, like, you can use your gunslinger skill.
That was a piece of innovation in the form of just, like, we cut a requirement from, like, the way D&D works.
Right.
We were like, well, why not?
But then, you know, that was also kind of confusing. So we're going to do away with skills.
But we can't just have 4 or 6 attributes.
Right. So we expand the attributes, get rid of skills. So, like, everything that you do falls into one of these 12 categories.
Right. So what that means is, to the physical category of attributes, we have dexterity and strength. We are adding an endurance or a constitution. We'll decide what we call it. But in an endurance thing, which is like, you know, how well do you suffer pain, torture? Mm-hmm. Do you have, like, the physical fortitude to, to stick your hand into something hot and grab something? Or to like, eat rotten food and not get poisoned? And then from that, we're going to take an inversion of that value, however many points you put into it out of 20, that number of points becomes your positive toughness value.
Right.
Which doesn't change, and you don't roll on toughness. That just reduces incoming damage.
Right.
So my idea, and what it came from, and this is weird, but it bugged me, the asymmetry of having 3 physical but only 2 in mental. And I still feel maybe that there should be a third thing in personality, but maybe not. Because we don't want anything else out of personality. But I did want something else out of mental. Mm-hmm. So previously we had like a perception and a smarts, or a senses and cleverness or intelligence, whatever. There's like your perception of the world and also your thinking. I want to add another one, which is like your willpower, your mental discipline value type of thing. Because that is a separate role from how smart you are or how perceptive you are. Mm-hmm. So I think it deserves to be its own attribute. And then you can get an inversion of that, which is like your stress or sanity. And that becomes a different version of hit points that dangerous situations, bad guys and monsters can attack. And
right. Because in this post-apocalyptic fantasy world that we made, and like, this is a whole episode on its own in the future, but like magic... Right, you mentioned the spell table that we had. So we had a couple different types of magic, and one of them was mind magic.
There was a specific, like, one of the 4 applications of magic was direct, like, mental
interaction. Telepathy and, like, also, you know, like, psychological damage in D&D or whatever. They have a specific damage type.
And psychic that's is cool. different from the different magic types.
Right.
You know, it's and its like, own...
We never really ran into a problem with it in the original Afterlife. Like, you know, a mind wizard does, like, a mind spike at you. Mm-hmm. You know? But, like, it does not... What really makes sense to use the same toughness.
Right. What we were able to do is, like, attack characters mentally. Mm-hmm. You started doing that, and that worked really well because characters that were spec'd for physical combat were really, really weak to mental attacks.
Yeah.
And when... So, like, my idea here with implementing a stress, and I think we want to call it stress, not sanity. Because sanity, what that evokes, the connotation there is like Call of Cthulhu, right? And that's not really the situation. There's weird stuff in Afterlife, but it's not like cosmic horror, sanity melting type of weirdness. It's just like fun mutant. It's like Adventure Time.
Right, yeah.
That's the kind of weirdness that is in Afterlife or Fallout, you know.
And also, like, there's the connotation of, like, I don't know if we want to go this route, but I already started, so I guess we have no choice. But, like, the neurotypical, you know, connotation of, like, oh, being sane and, like, you know, grips on reality and that kind of stuff. I think stress is a better one. Because a sane person can still have horrible psychological, you know, tendencies because they're under a lot of stress. So it's not like, oh, you've become insane.
Or you make a terrible decision in the moment because of a high stress situation.
Right. Right. It's not like, oh, you're insane. It's just, you're under stress.
And that's the sort of thing that I imagine comes from this, is like, your stress is like a... And maybe there's an inversion of stress. Like, what's an antonym to stress? Your
relaxed.
Composure.
Composed.
Maybe we call it that instead. But stress is like what's happening to you. You're getting more stressed. It'd almost be like another version of hit points or toughness, where
I think composure.
Yeah.
Let's start calling it composure.
Let's
see how
let's tongue it a little bit and test drive.
Because, like, so this will be an inversion, like a contra stat to, like, willpower or whatever, just like toughness is.
To endurance.
So your composure will be however many points you put into willpower.
Inverted to a positive value.
So, like, you decrease willpower, so when there's a willpower roll,
it's easier.
You roll over it.
Yeah.
But then, like, your composure is, like, how many mental health points you have.
Right. And the...
So it ticks down.
So we talked about, and it, you know, it sucks that this isn't a YouTube video and we can't, like, put it on the screen for you to see how the damage table works.
Yeah.
Let me recap that real quick, and then I'll talk about the new table that I think comes from this. So you have your toughness value. Weapons and attacks have a damage value. You subtract the toughness value from the damage value, that gives you a lethality value on the table, and then you roll a d10 to see what happens to you. This is all after an attack hits. The same table applies to player characters as to enemies and NPCs and stuff. So everyone exists on the same scale, which also means that players can fight each other, and damage works the same way. Damage is standard. Higher toughness means that you're reducing the damage more, which means you're taking less lethal effects from successful attacks. By implementing this composure stat, I imagine a second table with a new suite of effects that affect your behavior and your, like, mental acuity or your fucking, like, mood in a situation. And, you know, finish your drink, ring the bell, whatever Brian says. About to talk about Darkest Dungeon. Darkest Dungeon has hit points for the characters, but it also has a stress mechanic. So hit points go down, stress goes up in Darkest Dungeon. And when it hits certain, you know, milestones, the game rolls to give you bad stuff.
Right. And this is actually, I would say, it's closer to Mothership's, like, panic. Yeah.
Mothership's mechanic, fear and panic.
Which is also, you know, and stress is a point of that. Like, you can take a point of stress and then, like, however many stress points you roll on the panic and whatever. Right?
Yeah.
But it gives, so, like, the mental damage table, we would call it, or something like that, would... be similar to the physical damage table, where it's like, oh, you're taking mental damage, mm-hmm. so you take your the damage coming in, subtract your composure. Your current composure, yeah. your effective composure.
Which means mental attacks have to have a damage value,
mm-hmm.
but they are not they're not attacking your body. They are like things that you know, they mm-hmm. there are things that would be harmful mentally. And that could be like a psychic mind spike,
mm-hmm.
but it could also be like, you know, someone, you know, an enemy wizard just like put a vision in front of you, like in Fury Road when Max first like tries to escape,
yeah.
and he sees the ghosts of all the people who's, you know, he's he left. Hasn't been able to help,
yeah.
or he let die or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're like flashing in front of him. A psychic attack like that, right? If that hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're taking your composer, subtracting it from the attack value, and then rolling on the mental damage table, or effects table, right? And then you get something like, erratic fit, whatever. I don't know, we'd have to come up with some better names. But, like, you get something where you might accidentally, like, you know, thrash at something unseen and step off a cliff. Whoopsie. Uh-huh. You know.
So, yeah, I am curious because, so, like, you mentioned that I was kind of fucking around with that in version one of Afterlife,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you know, a mind wizard does an attack, and then damage is assessed based on, you know, the character's mind stat rather than their toughness.
Mm-hmm.
But I was using the same damage table.
Right.
And I think, for the most part, they can be... It's not a problem, because, like, you just reskin it. So, like, for example, in our damage table, we have, like, an arm wound effect. So, like, in physical combat, it's like, yeah, they hit you with a sword in your arm, and it hurts to use that arm. So, like, you get a -1 with rolls or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That effect could still happen mentally. It's like, yes, they invaded your mind, and it made it seem like, you know, you can't, or just... it. Made your arm hard to use, right? It gave you a numb arm or whatever, right? You just gotta skin it. But, like, some of them are a little bit difficult. Let's spitball some effects of this new mental damage table.
Okay. I was imagining them a lot like role-playing prompts, but role-playing prompts that also come with some sort of numerical, like, mechanical. So, let me steal one from Darkest Dungeon. I can't remember any. you're gun-shy, okay?
Okay.
Until a long rest, you have -5 to your shoot. Something like
that. So, like, debuffs? Yeah. Or
yeah.
So, like, -5 to your roll, or...
-5 to your roll.
Right.
And, yeah, and for forever and always, when we talk about that now, that, like, would apply to the roll. So, yeah, -5 to your, D20 shoot roll.
To your shoot roll.
You're gun shy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't kill you until you get to, like, you know, down the really high... That's when you start having, like, a fucking brain aneurysm.
Right. You know, just like the regular damage table.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the kill result doesn't appear until, like, 10 or whatever, mm-hmm. right?
And I think the mental shouldn't kill you for the most part. Like, you know, like, there shouldn't be at 10 the possibility of a lethal heart attack. I think the possibility of a lethal heart attack should be, like, one cell at the, like, 10 on the 20 tier. You roll a 10 on the 20 tier, you die, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's highly unlikely that these, like, mental things are going to kill you.
So kill results are much more rare. Mm-hmm. They're more rare or something.
But I think you could, especially if it's, you know, if it's coming from, like, the mental attack of an enemy wizard,
mm-hmm.
the idea that you suffer, like, a stroke and that equates to an arm injury,
mm-hmm.
right? Or, you know, it's effectively a leg amputation. I think that's perfectly possible because, like, something broke in your brain. Something physical and medical failed in your, in the tissue of your brain, and if that happens, then, like, you could lose access to parts of your body.
Because I was, so I was thinking that the two would be very closely related, and, you know, they would play off each other. So, like, what you're saying...
I'm thinking of kind of two things, and maybe the table allows for both of these things to interact together, but...
Well, hold on. So what you're saying is, like, say 10 mental damage comes through, right? So, you know, whatever the damage of the attack is minus your composure, you get a 10 lethality tier on the mental table. One of those results is...
severity.
Like an arm wound.
Yeah. It's like an arm wound.
Or it's like roll at this, you know, severity on the physical damage table. And so, like, maybe it's not an arm wound, but it could be an arm, it could be a leg, it could be a concussion, it could be a bleed, right? You know, you just got an aneurysm and now you're gushing blood out your brain, you know, nose or ears or whatever, right?
No.
That's what you were talking about?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay. Because I think it could also work the opposite way where, like, you get amputated, you also take some, like, composure damage.
Yeah.
Right, like,
and that's so. That's why, like, the more we talk about it, the more on the fence I'm becoming about this idea.
Okay.
Because if we implement this, you know, willpower as an attribute, right? And willpower is, you know, you would make rolls and saves on this. This is like, you know, when Duke Atreides has his hand in the thing.
Yeah.
This is a willpower thing, and she's like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna feel pain, but the pain's not real. It's." A mental thing to not move, to, like, prove you're a human, not an animal, right?
Right.
That is a...
Your mental endurance.
You're rolling on willpower.
Yes.
You're rolling on control over your, you know, your brain's control over your body. I like the idea of that existing. I don't know if I like the idea of mirroring everything bad that can happen to you physically, mentally as well. Because it means that the game master is either we're gonna have to write it down so that the game master has something to reference, or we're gonna have to say, "Hey, game master, you know, every time you fall down something, you know, maybe you don't get hurt because you passed your agility save, right?
But you might take some mental.
Now also roll on your willpower, and so we're just doubling the amount of things that happen."
Yeah.
The more and more we're talking about this, the more and more I'm like, I don't know if this should be a thing, and. Also, the only reason that I started developing it is I was like, I don't like how physical it's and mental are asymmetrical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that doesn't matter. Spoiler alert, it doesn't fucking matter because none of this matters. But, well, like, cosmically. But, design-wise, does it matter? I'm not sure anymore because the more we talked about all the cool things we could do with it, the more I'm like, oh, shit. Now we, like, if you're going to do some of these cool things, you kind of have to do all of them. And do we want to have to do all of them all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And when do you say, no, you don't have to? Because simulating, accurately simulating the mental strain of, like, combat and dungeon crawling and cross-country chases, whatever, or, like, just being hungry... or cold in
or
the wilderness.
Not, you know, being on watch at night.
Yeah.
You know?
Accurately simulating that with more and more rolls and a suite, a table of bad things that could happen, I'm starting to wonder if it's a good idea at all.
Yeah. This is something I've been thinking about while, like, that's come up in my brain while thinking about all these changes and like, you know, some stuff. Adventures that I want to run and everything is like what do they call that? The sweet spot, the clitoris, if you will.
That's a myth.
Ally status revoked. That's a joke from the last episode.
Is it?
Well, because we were allies in the last episode about consent.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you'd think I remember it better because we are, you guys can't tell because these are 2 weeks apart, but we are sitting in the same room an hour later, recording again so that we have a little bit of backlog. And I already forgot about
it. Inflection point, the intersection, maybe it's just the intersection point. The intersection point between like reality and like gamification and slash fun.
Yeah.
So like there are just some things that you could spin your wheels forever on of like, you know, getting it perfect and like this is the perfect simulation of reality.
Yeah.
And like, you know, all these components go into this one number that like you want because like it's realistic.
Yeah.
And then like, is that like worth it, right? Yeah. Because in the end it is a game and there needs to be just some gamification hand waving of like, I know this isn't exactly perfect and like it doesn't simulate life exactly perfect, but that's not what we're here for. What we're here for is to like make it fun, challenging, and interesting and tell a good story.
Yeah.
So like the idea of having like willpower and like a composure is good and like fun and you can do a lot of cool things with that.
Yeah.
But also like, is it trying to simulate reality too perfectly?
And what I worry about is like, if we dial it back a little bit and, you know, but we leave like the willpower stat in there because it is a, you know, it is a decent third mental stat, right? But say we get rid of stress and just have like a different, you know, random table of certain times, you know, roll on this, whatever.
Right.
But
if you like, fail a willpower roll, here's your thing.
But what if we then characters like put willpower points, put points into their willpower attribute for rolls that never happen because a game master never calls for them? Because they're just not running that type of game. We can't make a game that like could do Alien, but not all the time.
Yeah,
and then, isn't about that like mounting stress level.
Right. Building on the, you know, the stuff that I said, like, you know, that intersection between, you know, fun, like reality sim and game. Because like, and like I said it last designing episode 2, where it's like we don't have to come up with everything because smart people are going to, I think this was on the text thread actually.
Yeah, maybe.
But like, smart people are gonna figure it out and like be like, oh, I wanna run like a, you know, a mental wizard, you know, as the bad guy. So I'm gonna create this whole table based on the damage table.
Yeah, based on the damage table, but it's not physical damage, it's mental damage. And
like, I'm gonna do that.
Create a monster who fights the players that way, then they'll figure out a way.
Right, but like putting it in there where it's kind of like the edge case is a trap.
Yeah, when you put it in there and it is like an edge use case, but you give it equal, you know, page count as the physical damage thing, which is the main thing you're going to do, then like you trick the game master into trying to work it in all the time when they don't have to, and you trick the players into wasting attribute points on attributes that only work for that thing. And now they feel like they made a bad character, or that their game master is running the game wrong, one or the other, because they're not utilizing the points that they've allocated.
Yeah. So that being said, is there the middle ground of having the willpower and the composure stat, but like that damage still just goes to the physical damage table and you just got to skin it correctly?
I think we include the willpower attribute, right? We keep that. This pen is borked.
You're borked.
I think we include the willpower attribute, but we ditch the stress. Like, we ditch the idea of a second mental hit point value or, you know, like mental toughness. We ditch the idea of that. Right, and we have maybe just like a separate table where you occasionally roll on it if you need to, but it doesn't have to be organized the same way as the damage table. We just put it on the back burner that, like, here's, like, a stressful situations table. And, you know, certain things could come of it, but I didn't have to.
I feel like that's just as much as a trap.
For it to even be there?
Right. Because you see willpower on your character sheet, and you're like, oh, what's this? I'm going to put some points into this. And, like, oh, it's only in these rare situations.
Does it make more sense than... So, like, a little bit... We're not saying this... I'm not saying this, like, you know, point blank as a true fact about the Afterlife universe. But maybe we design it just as though, like... You know how everyone is crazy in Fury Road?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's just crazy in Afterlife. A little bit, right? Or... You know how everyone is just, like, crazy in the United States? There are things in the United States that are fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
But it's normalized.
How we pay for health insurance.
Uh-huh.
And how you still pay for health insurance and go to the ER and still have to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars. And we're like, yeah, that's just how society works.
Right, yeah.
So we just don't do that. Don't do the willpower. Just, they're smart and there's perception. And for personality, there's friendly and scary, and it is okay that physical has a third thing.
Mm-hmm.
One, because that is a separate thing. And, well, willpower is enough of a separate thing, I think, for that third mental attribute to be there. We just don't have a mental effects table, and we don't have a mental toughness value.
Okay, then give me some examples of common willpower rules.
Okay. Win a staring contest. Here's the thing that is a problem with this. Anything that is an endurance roll could also be a willpower roll.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, which thing is it, right? Is it your physicality or is it your brain's control over your body?
Right.
And to a certain degree, physicality... you know, takes over or takes primacy, like in fighting off Giardia. I drank dirty pond water, right? Yeah. That is for sure an endurance roll.
You can't mind that away.
Right.
I'm not sick.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go shit in this bush real quick, but I'm not sick.
You're firing from both ends. I studied the ballistics. Yeah. It checks out. Right, so there are certain situations where it could definitely be one and not the other, but in most situations it could be
both.
Either.
Yeah, either.
So in that, like, that's why, like, they both kind of go into toughness in that sense, as like toughness as the thing that you use to avoid dying.
Because also this is something that I did a horrible job game mastering in Afterlife, because the original, like, thesis of, like, our toughness points was we really liked the what were they called in Torg?
I don't remember. The it wasn't stress.
Shock.
Yeah. It was shock damage.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you accumulated little shocks in Torg.
And, like, I did a horrible job, like, transferring that theory into actual play, because it was like, oh, yeah, a glancing blow. So, like, the bullet grazes you.
You're fine. If you got grazed with a bullet and you were basically fine, but you got grazed with a bullet, like, that's not okay.
And
you are an inch from death.
Well, yeah, and it's, like, not even that. It's, like, the one toughness penalty is, like, oh, they, like, hit you, but it wasn't that bad because you had a high toughness. It's not because you shrugged off the bullet. It's because that bullet didn't actually hit you.
Yeah.
It just scared you a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? You're a little shell-shocked. You're a little like, oh, fuck, that was close.
It's shock. And, you know, so a toughness penalty is maybe the wrong word for it. A glancing blow, toughness penalty, like, shock is maybe better, because as shock builds up, you're more likely to get more hurt. And that is what Torg did, and that is kind of what we took from Torg, but I stand by the fact that at least the way the table works and the way, like, toughness subtracted from damage equals lethality is good design and well implemented. You're right, narratively,
but I just the lower tier
stuff didn't come across quite so well. Right. And then a lot of times combat would end before you got to higher tier stuff, which is how it's supposed to be. But sometimes you were never scared of it.
Right, which is why those would, like, oh, after combat, all your toughness penalties, unless it says differently, like, go away. Yeah. Right? It's because, like, you know, it's the gun smoke clears or whatever.
You lose your toughness penalties, but if you have a flesh wound or an amputation or a concussion, you keep those.
Yeah.
And there's another thing about that that never really works great either, because, like, once we're out of combat, nobody wants to engage with those mechanics anymore. You engage with those mechanics in combat. Like, oh, I've got a leg wound. Okay, so in the tactical grid combat, I am limited in my movement, but I can still do other things, and so you think about, you know, how to play.
Yeah.
When it ends, you're like, okay, I limp. But I limp quickly so that we still get to the same place together.
Yeah.
Okay. Those effects persisting outside of combat, I think, is a little bit of a problem, because they're not great role-playing prompts, or at least they're not followed like great role-playing prompts.
I think they're good role-playing prompts. We've done a bad job of enforcing those.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because, like, you know, sometimes you're just like, yeah, fuck it. It doesn't really matter for what the story is after the combat, like, if you guys are all banged up.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that's up to the table.
That was kind of the thing, is, like, you lose your toughness. Toughness penalties go away after the combat, but injuries persist. But if there was only one fight per day, then, you know, you get into the situation where you're like, all right, well, we're just going to spend all our resources, and if I've got time, can I just keep rolling until we do it? And we make these injuries go away after a little bit of a chore. We do the chore, make all the injuries go away, and now we don't deal with them anymore.
Yeah, and for us, I think that is a symptom of how we present and narrate and our player base.
Yeah.
Where they write something down on their character sheet, and then they put their character sheet out of view and look on their phone until they're called on again, and then, like, oh, yeah, okay, here's my role. Forgetting, oh, shit, I have a, you know, wound. So, like, maybe that's character sheet design or something like that. Or just, like...
Yeah, that's true. There's probably been however many, you know, arm or leg wounds that should have affected the outcome of combat that didn't, because, like, they didn't get written down.
Right, and, like...
properly referenced.
You know, so hard for the game master to keep track of all that crap.
And not really your job.
Right, and so, like, which is fine, I think, in theory, because, like, if the players don't want to engage with it, because, like, I mean, come on. I am not confident that every player has been honest with their roles. I would suspect that at some point, a player has lied to me about their role.
Yeah, sure. I mean, just one?
Just, like, at that's some such, point it's
yeah,
happened.
That's an easy, yeah, that's an easy bet. That one time, at one point, one person, I'm sure I've done it.
I've done it. Point. I know I've done it.
I'm 100%, I'm 99% sure I've done it. I can't remember, like, incidents.
And but, so, like, the ones that I'm thinking of is exactly this, is, like, the roll happens and, like, you know, it looks good. It's like, oh, I rolled a 17, and so that's going to beat the 15 difficulty. But forgetting that I have a minus two somewhere. And then, like, you know, a minute later, looking at my sheet, it's like, oh, fuck, I didn't actually pass that roll. But, like, I'm not going to bring
that
up.
Yeah, because that, like, and I think that's the right call. You know, maybe, like, oh, nobody saw that, and I, like, turned the dice and I lied. That's, you know,
that one's a little more fragrant.
That's bad sportsmanship, right? But it's more discourteous and a bigger disservice to everyone there, including your game master, to be like, to realize, like, oh, shit.
Three rolls ago,
that should not have happened. Nope. It happened that way.
Yeah.
And we are not going back, because that would be rude to everybody. Okay. So, that was a bit of a tangent.
Yeah.
But, I've had another idea about this, just about the core attributes and how this might shake out. How do you... So you said you didn't like the idea of damaged dice, especially like when it came to, you know, guns and like things that just should be high damage and it should be like a fixed thing. That'd be very variable. But how do you feel about rolling dice, more dice besides just D20s, just in general? Like, is that, does that sound fun? Because, so here's the thought that I had.
Well, in what context?
Yes. Okay, so instead of D20s, right, and subtracting, because this is the system, and I'm not sure how we get the toughness out of this, and I've basically moved on from the stress idea completely. But with the 11 attributes now that we, I think, are for sure working with, maybe 12 if we include a willpower.
Well, it's 12 if there's endurance and toughness. That's 12. And not counting speed.
I'm not thinking about toughness as an attribute. I'm thinking about it as something else.
So that's different. Yeah. So then 11, yes.
So 11, maybe 12 if we include willpower. And then toughness and speed have to come from there. Right. Somehow, right? Yeah. And I like the idea we have for toughness.
Okay.
We would have to change how we get this, but now I'm forgetting why I thought this was a good idea. Okay, but so what if instead of a D20 and you put points in to roll under each of these attributes, right? The 4 combat, 3 physical, mental, personality. They were a different dice denomination instead. 1 to 3 is failure. Anything above that is success. So if you have a D6,
50,
not so great, but and probably like half of your stats are going to be D6s. But then you have like 2 D8s or 3 D8s, 2 D10s, and 1 D12. 1 to 3 is failure. Anything higher than that is a success, and we keep the same attributes, which means we're asking for the same types of roles.
So character creation would be you have an array of dice. Choose which attribute you roll a d12 for, which one a d8, which one a d10, which one a d6, which one a d4, or whatever.
And the same thing still happens, where the player knows, you know, because of what dice you're holding, your chance of success. And your chance of failure scales by which dice denomination. And then you can still give pluses to things, or you could like increase dice denominations in a certain situation.
Where do the pluses come from?
I don't know, like putting a scope on a gun type of thing, you know, plus one to shoot when using. And so if you only have like a plus, you only have like a D6 in... You only have a D6 in shoot because you're not a shooting guy, but you got a nice gun. Right. And that makes it so 2...
Or 3 would be a success or whatever. So, like, the stand... So, it would be a standard difficulty, like, 3s, 2s, 1s fail.
Yeah.
Everything else succeeds. And then character creation would be which dice do you assign, and you can't change them.
Yeah.
Right? And then, like...
But you can potentially improve them.
Character progression would be improving that. So, like, you start with a D6, but then you get a D8. I mean, that's a very interesting way to do it. Lot more, well, I guess, yeah, you don't need more dice. It's not like, oh, this red one is specifically...
You could still do it all with one set of dice at the table.
So then everything else would be... We would have to refigure out toughness.
Yeah, toughness still needs to come from somewhere else, because I think toughness is still a out of 20 value, or an out of 15 value, whatever.
But damage would still be the same. We would, it would still be a flat number, mm-hmm. right? Depending on your weapon. And then magic would be perks, and then, you know, be a mind or a clever roll or mm-hmm. a senses roll or a strength roll.
Yeah. Like, what I'm thinking is you got to do some math to, you know, and I know we said that it's fine if you do a little bit of math and a little bit of, like, conversion or tabulation in character creation, as long as the number you get out of that is the number that you use, mm-hmm. right? But I was also thinking that, like, there is nothing tied to the D20 the way Afterlife is, the way, you know, like, D&D is all built around it, because we don't use damage dice, we don't use, we don't have an equivalent to, like, Bardic Inspiration. You know, the typical things that, that are mechanically designed to scale off the D20. And we're going for something where, without oversimplifying it, the players just, like, roll and know whether they succeed, and also where we as game masters don't roll for things. Players roll to dodge. Players roll to, you know, players roll to avoid enemy action. So there's not really any need to be tethered to the D20 system. And could be cool, could be different. Different could is be different. Different is not, I a mean, reason necessarily to do
is
it.
Is different. The balancing issue. So, because we never figured out exactly what we were going to change, like how many attribute points people were going to have.
Yeah.
Right, with the new array of attributes being 12, or you know, possibly 13, or, you know, however many. Right, so, I mean, the way it is now, the average is no bonus, right? So
yeah.
50%. But then, like, no, that's not right, because we didn't have a set difficulty.
We didn't have a set difficulty, and there was a possibility that you could have less, which means that maybe we should include all the way to a D4.
Well,
if we went with this.
What I am afraid of in doing something like this is balance,
mm-hmm.
because you have set probabilities of success, and this is a question in the rollover system too, of making enemies. So I want to present an enemy that is hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I have no control over how often the players are going to hit the enemy, right? Because it's just set in stone. It's like whatever their stat is, or, you know, whatever their dice is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a 4 in this system, a 4 hits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're rolling a D12, 75% chance of success. Yeah. So it's like, how do I make this a hard difficulty? Is, okay, two options. One, they punch really fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a lot of health. Or both. So, when you've drawn some stuff out there. I'm curious to see what this
map is. So I was just doing a spread out of 12.
Uh-huh.
So at the bottom, you got one stat is your D4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You suck at that. You've got a 25% chance of ever succeeding at anything.
Uh-huh.
At the other end, you got one D12.
Right.
You're almost never going to fail that, but it's a possibility. It's actually directly inverse. If it's 1 to 3 is failure,
mm-hmm.
then the D12 is a 75% chance of success, which is a good number, I feel like. Not
Not great.
Not as crazy as, you know, putting 19 points into an attribute in the old way.
Yeah.
And then you have 3d10s, which are good. 4d8s, which are, you know, in the middle. And 3d6s. I think this should actually skew a little bit further this way. But this is an even spread from the middle out. 4d8s, 3d6s, 3d10s, 1d4,
1d12. Well, so...
should it be weighted more towards success more often or failure more often? And then you can erase and shift.
So if you have your... so then, I mean, this 12, there would be a willpower.
Yeah, I think so. And then toughness still needs to come from somewhere, and I don't have a solution to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet. I kind of like this idea, though, because then, you know, when you say, like, a plus, or, I don't know, an advantage... We could use the terms advantage and disadvantage, but we could have them mean something different here, where, like, you have advantage on, or say, the old fan the hammer ability, right? If you've got a handgun, you know, you can blast the magazine
mm-hmm.
in one action, right? But all those shots are at disadvantage. So say your shoot is a D8, that means you drop down to D6. So now you're rolling 66 instead of, you know, a D8 for your attack. Still good, but, you know, it's just like the math works a little bit differently, but I don't know. There's a funness to it, I think, and a little bit of an elegance to it.
I agree that there's an elegance to it. I'm not sold on the character creation bit of it.
Okay.
I think it makes it, which might be a good thing, because it's definitely, like, really impossible, because you only get a D12.
Yeah.
It makes it really impossible to be excellent at one thing.
Yeah.
But I think... we're trying to fix a problem that not everybody suffers from, and the problem comes from just a little bit of bad faith. It's not like it needs a fix. 'Cause, like, I mean, it's elegant in the way that, like, RPG Lite is elegant, where it's like you pick one of four arrays, baby, and that's it. And it's like, okay, great. Pretty simple and, like, fantastic for a one-shot. But, like, for a traditional campaign, which I don't even feel that we've ever experienced.
Had or done one.
You know? Like, where it's just like, yes, anything that can happen, could happen, will happen. So, like, you never know what's going to come in handy. And, like, you know, oh, I forgot that, like, you know, I have this friendly stat because we've been dungeon crawling forever, but, like, now we're stuck in town and, like, you know, the evil wizard from the dungeon followed us back into town and is hunting us through town and, like, we need some allies. And, like, well, I'm glad that I... accidentally, quotes, air quotes, put some stuff into friendly, because that wasn't useful at all in the dungeon, and, like, everybody else was slaying and having a good time, and I was kind of, like, fighting for my life, but now I get a shine, baby.
Yeah.
This kind of makes it where, like, everybody's kind of the same, or at least that's what it feels like to me.
I agree, or, like, I understand how it feels like everyone's the same, but I think if you're not doing the D&D, you know, roll 3d6 for attribute. If you're not randomizing it somehow, then I don't think there's a lot of functional difference between an array of dice and, you know, 69 points distributed or 100, because it does mean that everyone's going to be functionally balanced. If it's, you know, if it's a distribution of a set number of something, you know, there is no chance for anyone to be just like objectively worse, right? They're just gonna have this. They're gonna have the same amount of points, but distributed differently.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because I think where this really makes or breaks, like even it, like I think you need to tell me where toughness comes from, because if we can't figure that out, then it's not viable.
It's not a viable thing, and we have a viable way to get toughness from the other version. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's a lot. And we're at an hour. I think we should wrap this design episode. We had some cool ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we established is there is like some cool stuff we could do. This is sort of like the recap, I guess. We didn't really work from a strict outline. But let's talk about where we are now. We have a good system.
Is this on air right now?
Yes.
We're live? We're fucking live?
Yeah, we're still live.
You're telling me we're fucking live?
We have a good system for the attributes where we got 12, maybe 11, but I think 12, right? I don't think there's any reason to ditch the willpower. I just don't think a new version of toughness comes from it, necessarily.
Okay. I mean, I am still not sold on the willpower.
Okay. I mean, we could lose it. I just, like, I think it is different enough from smart and perception.
Mm-hmm.
To be its own role, but if we give them too many things, then they're going to be putting points into stuff they end up not using, and they'll be disappointed about that.
Yeah.
There's even maybe an argument to condense, like, you know, what if there were no different ones? It was just like you had one mental value and one physical value.
Well, I think that's way too far back in the other direction.
Yeah.
Where we came from. I mean, this is. Because that's RPG Lite right there.
That's true. That is true. Okay, so we have a good system of 11, maybe 12 attributes, and we have a good idea of how to get toughness out of it, which is not an attribute, but is a different stat that every character needs.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a potential different version of the system, which cuts out some math. Without changing the core of it, but we don't know why we would do that instead of the other thing, and we also don't know how we would get toughness out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is okay, we can put a pin in it for now and think about it. And in 2 weeks we'll be back with another episode, maybe designing, maybe something else.
I mean, hopefully something
else. We
should
break up designing.
Right, you know, I like designing every other episode. I think is fine. Yeah. I think
if we do too much of that, we're not. But also, you know, we gotta have something to talk about.
There's ideas.
Okay. That's gonna do it for this episode of Two Headed Game Master. We talked about designing our new version of Afterlife, and we talked about it for a while. So, hey, if you stuck with it, thanks. This is maybe more for us than almost anything else we do, as opposed to for the audience.
Yeah.
But I like it. And that's the other thing, is we have to like it or else we wouldn't
do
it.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, pay us money and tell us that
pay
you don't
money,
like it.
Pay us money, go to 2hgm.com, follow the link to our Patreon, pay us money about it, and then tell us what different episodes we should make. And honestly, as soon as someone does that, we'll fucking do
we'll probably do it.
But yeah, also on our website, you'll see a banner ad for Afterlife, our post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing game, available on drivethrurpg.com, maybe. I actually don't know the URL. but if you go search it, it'll tell you. Yeah. Other cool stuff on Patreon, some things to download, some tidbits. on our website that I've frankly mostly forgotten about.
Yeah, and they'll be moved to the Patreon whenever eventually. We get around to it and whatever. So
nobody visits the website cares. Anyway. It doesn't matter. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pondilla's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. And we'll see you next time.
Maybe.
You're right, that might be it.